in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. Does that mean God is 3 years away? No, that means God is right there with you, in your presence. That's what the word near means. So when Jesus says the kingdom of God is near, he means it's right here. I am it. I am the King. I am the Messiah. I am the fulfillment of the prophecies. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. And I'm announcing it. I'm establishing it. I'm calling you to become a part of it. Jesus started the kingdom. Okay, now the kingdom keeps coming in waves, and I think the day of Pentecost is another wave, another phase. The kingdom of God will one day come eternally out of heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. So the kingdom keeps coming, but the first time the kingdom came was when Jesus started his ministry right here. Okay, so that's one new thing to learn. Another verse you could write down is Luke, where Jesus said, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Last time I checked, Jesus did cast out demons by the Spirit of God, and therefore the kingdom of God must have come upon them right then, there, not 3 years later. So the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is near. Jesus brought it. He was the King. Back in Mark 1:15, Jesus said, "Jesus went to Galilee preaching the good news of God. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." What was the good news that Jesus preached? The coming of the kingdom of God. That was the good news. The good news wasn't you can be forgiven of your sins and get to go to heaven. That was part of the good news. But the good news that Jesus preached was the coming of the kingdom of God. Matthew 4:23. Jesus was going all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom was the good news that Jesus preached. That was the gospel for Jesus. It means more than the way we frequently use the word gospel. When we say preaching the gospel, we usually mean, you know, preaching the message of how to be saved. But Jesus meant more than that. Matthew 9:23, Jesus went to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. That's the good news for Jesus. Luke 4:43, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom to God, to the other towns also, because I was sent for this purpose." The good news for Jesus was the kingdom of God. And Luke 8:1, he was traveling from one town and village to another, preaching and telling the good news of the kingdom of God. And that might be Luke just repeating Matthew, but there are at least three different examples there of Jesus, along with Mark 1, where the good news and the kingdom are the same thing. That's the gospel. Okay, now, if that was Jesus' gospel, should that be our gospel? I heard amens, but is that the way we think of it? That we're proclaiming the kingdom of God. Not just, you know, you can go to heaven, get your sins forgiven, which is what most of the religious world thinks of as the gospel, but that Jesus is the King. Jesus has brought us the kingdom of God. Matthew 24:14. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations. I think that means that Jesus wants us to proclaim the same gospel he proclaimed. That the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, is what we are to proclaim throughout all the world. We can start in Gwinnett County, but the same idea. That's what we're proclaiming, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is good news. I mean, the kingdom of God is what brings us salvation. So that's a big part of it. That's central to it. But there's a lot more to it than that. It's Jesus as your King. It's being a part of the kingdom, being a part of a group of people who are for whom Jesus is your King. And that's good news. You're very familiar passage, Matthew 13, 44 through 46. It says, salvation is like a hidden treasure or a pearl of great price, right? No. It doesn't say salvation. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, like a pearl of great price. That's what we have to offer people. That's what we found, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, not just salvation, but much more than that. That's what we have. Amen. Can you tell I'm kind of fired up about this lesson? Good. Okay. Matthew chapter 6. Something else I think we have to unlearn, or at least learn a bigger picture, which is, what is the kingdom? We always have taught that the kingdom of God is the church, that they are essentially one and the same. But I don't think that's exactly right. I think the church can be the kingdom of God, but I think the kingdom of God is something bigger than the church. Let's read from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name is holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is the place where God reigns, where God's rule extends, where people do His will. The kingdom of God is in heaven, where the angels do God's will. And the kingdom of God is on earth, wherever there are people doing God's will. And then there will be an eternal kingdom of God where we get to be with Him in the New Jerusalem, where everyone will be doing His will. So that's the kingdom. It's where His will is being done. And this is parallelism. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's saying the same thing twice in different words. That's the kingdom of God. And when the kingdom of God comes, and when Jesus came, obviously He did the will of God. So He was the beginning of the kingdom. He was the King. And then He called us to follow Him and also do the will of God. And then that's how we become part of the kingdom. And I think rather than thinking of the kingdom of God as the church, we should think of the kingdom of God as the group of people who are doing His will. And that's bigger than just our church, right? But in some ways it might not be all of our church. I mean, sometimes we don't do the will of God. And I'm not talking about being perfect. But I'm just talking about there are sometimes when we fall away from that, when we're not doing that, when that's not our commitment anymore. And I think in that sense, the church is not necessarily the kingdom of God. And if you look at some of the other parables of Jesus, He talks about the church being mixed in, like the wheat and the tares. And there can be people in the church doing God's will, and people in the church who aren't. He even talks about the enemy sowing seeds. So, and certainly even among Jesus' own disciples, there was one born of the devil, right? So I think we have to think, you know, the church can be close to the kingdom of God if most of us are doing it. Certainly even among Jesus' own disciples, there was one born of the devil, right? So I think we have to think, you know, the church can be close to the kingdom of God if most of us are doing God's will, and the church consists mostly of people doing God's will, then it becomes very much the kingdom of God. But it can be the opposite too. And we've all been a part of churches like that, and no churches like that in the world where there aren't many people doing the will of God. And those churches, if they ever were part of the kingdom of God, have somehow drifted out of it. And so I think it's better to think of the kingdom, well, of course it's always better, to think of the kingdom the way the Bible describes it. The kingdom is the place where people are doing the will of God. And that, I think, takes away some of the bad connotations. We are so used to thinking of the kingdom and associating it back with the ICOC days. And we may be associated with some mistakes that were made in those days. But I think in one sense, those days had it right that we have to have a lot of excitement about the kingdom of God. And that the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus proclaimed, and that's the good news, We need to have a lot of excitement about that. And we can have that today about what God is doing today. You know, and I think what we can do is we can pray this prayer more. Your kingdom come. As I said before, the kingdom comes in different ways. Obviously, it came when Jesus was here. The Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, was sort of a new wave. The kingdom came in our life individually. At some point, the kingdom came to your life. You know, the kingdom of God, the movement of Jesus on earth came to you. And you became a disciple and decided to make Jesus your king and become part of the kingdom. And that happens to people around us. And we can pray this prayer, your kingdom come. If we've slipped from that commitment, we can pray this prayer for ourselves. Your kingdom come back in my life, God. I want to be a part of your kingdom and really do your will again. We can pray this prayer for other people around us. Even in the church, we can pray this prayer. Your kingdom come to the church, Father, again, that we can really do your will on earth as it is in heaven. We can pray this prayer for our family members who aren't in the church, who aren't part of God's kingdom. We've had a lot of teen baptisms the last few months. That's been awesome. The kingdom is coming to our teens. We can pray this for our neighbors and our friends at work. Father, I pray your kingdom would come to my colleagues at work, to my neighbors, to my friends. You know, that your kingdom would come, that your will be done in their life, that they would start doing your will, so that your will be done on earth more and more, just like your will is done in heaven. Amen. Okay, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Okay. Did Jesus teach more about how we should be saved or about how we should live our lives? Yeah. You know, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? How many times did Jesus use the word grace? Zero. You look up grace in an exhaustive concordance, there'll be none of them in the red letters. But Jesus obviously provided us grace by what he did, but he mostly talked about how he wanted people to live. That's what he mostly talked about. If you think about it, Matthew 22 here, we're going to read it. Jesus said, what is the greatest commandment? Repent and be baptized. Go make disciples. No. 22, verse 37. He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. And you might add, and the New Testament. You know, the Gospels and the letters. They all hang on these two commandments. You could reduce Christianity to this. You love God and love your neighbor. And that's what Jesus talked about almost all the time. That's what most of his parables were about. You think about when Jesus did talk about salvation, he mostly talked about the day of judgment, warning us to be ready. You know, telling us that if we weren't doing the will of God, there would come a day of reckoning, a day of accountability. When he mostly talked about salvation, he was warning us, urging us to live lives worthy of the kingdom of God, to live a life doing the will of God. But, you know, if you read through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, or you read through the Sermon on the Plain in Luke 6, Jesus mostly spoke about these two things. He talked about our heart for God, what we're like on the inside. And then he talked about how we treat other people, what we're like on the outside. Those are the two things in those teachings and in most of Jesus' other teachings. That's what he wanted. That's what the kingdom of God was for Jesus. People who love God and who do God's will. And that's what he wanted to produce in his followers, in his disciples. That's what he was trying to accomplish. Turn to, we're going to violate the red letter rule. We're going to turn to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Okay, why did Jesus come to earth? Most people would say, well, you know, to die on a cross and save us from our sins. And that's certainly true. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. But there's another reason Jesus came. And I've got John 18:37. He was talking with Pilate at his trial. And he said, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this very reason, I was born and came into the world. So Jesus came, yes, to save us from our sins, to seek and save the lost, but he also came to be a king, to be the Messiah, to found and establish the kingdom of God. That was a reason Jesus came, and it's all through the Old Testament, the prophecy about that, that the king would come. I was reading it this morning in Isaiah, that the king would come. And that would be Jesus, the Messiah. He came to do both. Now, I know it's not red letters, but in Titus 2, it tells us what Jesus' purpose was, what Jesus' thinking was, why he did what he did. Verse 14. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all sin, from all lawlessness, and to cleanse for himself a special people eager to do good works, or eager to do what is good. He came to do both. It's not that there's an and in that verse. Oh, there it is. And he came to save us from our sins, to give us salvation, redemption, but he also came to purify a people, to create the kingdom of God. A special people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. That's somewhere else in the Bible. 1 Peter. That's what he wanted to create. And that those people would be eager to do what is good. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kind of people that Jesus wanted to create by dying on a cross, by coming to earth. You know, we want to separate the two. Especially in our religious world here in the South. You know, we want forgiveness without having necessarily to do what's good, to live the life of a Christian, of a disciple, of a follower of Jesus, of a member of his kingdom. You know, we want to separate the two. Some people, you know, even do that, and they have a whole theology for that. That's why, you know, praying Jesus into your heart, being saved by faith alone. That's why these doctrines are so popular, because it's separating salvation from the life that you're supposed to live when you're a member of the kingdom of God. But Jesus didn't separate the two. In fact, as we've talked about, he emphasized the second more than the first. Yes, we are saved. That's a part of it. That's central. That's why Jesus died on a cross, like it says here. But he had a second reason. And the second reason was what he talked about more. Maybe because he knew that's the harder one for us to do. You think about it. Think about all the times that Jesus said, unless you, blank, you will never enter the kingdom of God. And he said that a lot. A lot of different ways, a lot of different times, unless you become like children, unless you're born again. I mean, there's just a lot of places where he says, unless this happens, or you become like this, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't be a part of the kingdom of God. And I don't think Jesus was just talking about repentance when we get baptized. I think Jesus is talking about the kind of people he wants us to become. And that's what repentance really is. We're supposed to change direction and keep going in the new direction. Not you know, just sort of one time decide to repent. You know, this is just an aside. I was looking at a theological school where they have a statement of things you have to believe, and they think they have reduced repentance to just being part of belief. You know, repentance is just something in your mind that you do when you believe, and it can't be something in action. Their whole theology is it can't be an action, or somehow that would undo grace. But that's not Bible. That might be Luther, but that's not Bible. That might be, you know, Reformation theology, but it's not the Bible. What Jesus said is both. You know, he wants to save us. He came to save us. But he also was proclaiming the kingdom of God. He wanted us to become people who do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? You know, and this emphasis of Jesus, it's not a burden. You know, sometimes I think we think that way. We think that when we focus on what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to be like, the kind of people God wants us to be, that somehow that's heavy. That's a duty. That's a chore. I know I think that way. But for Jesus, this is good news. The kingdom of God is good news. You know, we get to change. He says, repent and believe the good news. I mean, he has repent and good news in the same sentence. You know, we have a chance to be different people. That's exciting. That can fire you up. We get to follow in his steps. Live by the standard of what Jesus is like. We get to become like him. We get to have the Holy Spirit in our lives helping us do this. I mean, this is good news. The kingdom of God is good news. Doing God's will. Well, isn't that what we really all would love to do in our hearts? Is be able to do God's will, to be able to do good, to be people of righteousness, to be able to overcome sin and the things that we're ashamed of in our character, our habits, or our past. I mean, that's good news. That's not a burden. That's not a chore. It's exciting. And we get to be a part of the kingdom of God. We get to be a part of a group of people that are doing the same thing. We get to be in a fellowship where we're encouraging each other, where we have examples. We have teaching and preaching where we can come together and sing, you know, and encourage each other to be this way, to live this life. And that's an exciting thing. And it's not just a human institution, a little doodah church we're trying to have here. It's God at work. Something Jesus proclaimed when he came. And something that God is still doing and working in our lives. The kingdom of God. It's a tremendous opportunity. It really is good news. You know, and I know for me that was part of why I was fired up to become a Christian. I mean, I grew up going to church. I grew up knowing the five things you had to do to be saved. You know, bump, 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 ping, you know, and I punched my ticket. And I get to go to heaven now. I mean, I could, you know, I knew those five things. And, you know, other churches had one or two. Our church had five. And ours was closer to the Bible. But it still wasn't the big picture. You know, but it was exciting to me when I could first see the kingdom of God. That there's a whole group of people. And when I was a kid, my favorite book in the Bible was the book of Acts. And you know, I don't know that I could have expressed it at the time, but looking back, why I liked the book of Acts was because the church was real. The church had impact. The church spread. You know, people became Christians in large numbers. You know, you could see the evidence of the grace of God. You could see the evidence of the kingdom of God advancing and the kingdom of God coming in people's lives. And that was exciting to me. And I was like, well, why isn't my church like that? You know, and then I discovered some people who were more like that. You know, true disciples who are really, really living the kingdom life, if you will. Really, really living it. Now, there were some people in my church doing it, but it just didn't seem to be the norm. And then I found a group where it was the norm. And that was exciting to me. I went to a seminar, and there was 5,000 people all committed to doing it. It was exciting to me to see. I mean, that was part of the excitement for me. I wanted to be a part of the kingdom of God. Yes, I wanted to be saved and go to heaven. But I wanted to be a part of the kingdom of God. I wanted to see something working in my life and working in the lives of other people. And I think when that happens, it helps our faith. It's easier to have faith when you see it happening in other people's lives. It's easier to have faith when you have other people helping you. And you're not just on your own in your room trying to be saved and go to heaven. You know, and that's what the kingdom of God is. It's a great thing. It's an exciting thing. Well, if I could get everyone to stand up. We have to stand up in a minute anyway to go get our kids. Now, the last time I talked, I made fun of doing this, but now we're going to do it for real, okay? Let's close out with a prayer. We won't pray the whole thing, but we'll pray just this part.